Good afternoon. On behalf of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD, I'm pleased and honored to have been invited by WIPO to address this esteemed audience on the interface between intellectual property and biodiversity. As this interface is quite broad and the time for discussion quite limited, 15 minutes to be exact, I decided to focus my speech today on the role of IP in technology transfer in the context of the Convention on Biodiversity. In fact, most of what I say today stems from a technical study that was jointly drafted by my team at UNCTAD and the respective teams at WIPO and the CBD Secretariat a few years ago. This study was commissioned by the CBD Secretariat in response to a mandate they had received from COP7, which is the seventh meeting of the intergovernmental body that oversees the implementation of that convention. And perusing quickly over the presentation of my co-presenter on biodiversity, Mr. Ruiz Müller, that was posted on the web, I think that our presentations could be quite complementary, as his covers many issues that, indeed, my presentation does not. I must add that our small team of IP lawyers at UNCTAD are not experts on CBD issues as such. Instead, we focus on the interface between IP and wide range of development issues. Among other activities, we follow the intergovernmental forums where IP-related negotiations are taking place, including, for example, the deliberations at the Committee on Development and Intellectual Property, which is charged with the implementation of the WIPO development agenda, and the TRIPS Council at the WTO. UNCTAD is also the focal point in the UN system for technology issues, and it is from this unique vantage point that I'll be addressing this meeting today. You might notice that I'm going to be skipping over slides from time to time. Again, this is also in the interest of time, and I had also notified the WIPO secretary that I may not use all the slides that I had given. The starting point of the discussion needs to be recalling what the international consensus was back in Rio, where the CBD was born. The aim of the CBD was, in a nutshell, the conservation of biological diversity, the sustainable use of its components, and the fair and equitable sharing of the benefits arising out of the utilization of genetic resources. In this context, it should be noted that the transfer of appropriate relevant technologies was specifically mentioned as one means to ensure the fair and equitable sharing of the benefits arising out of the use of genetic resources, taking into account all rights to those resources and to the technologies. And this is actually stated in the first article of the convention. Article 16 of the CBD further reiterates the importance of TOT, technology transfer, for the attainment of the objectives of the convention, and mandates that TOT to developing countries shall be facilitated on fair and most favorable terms. So, what do we mean when we say technology, and more specifically, technology transfer? We've heard these terms bounced around quite a bit today. The CBD itself does not define the term technology or technology transfer. It states only that biotechnology, i.e. the incorporation of biological mechanisms into technology, is a form of technology, but not much else. So we look elsewhere for a definition. UNCTAD defines technology transfer as the transfer of systemic knowledge for the manufacture of a product, for the application of a process, or for the rendering of a service, and does not extend to transactions involving the mere sale or mere lease of goods. The interesting thing to note about this definition is that it makes no mention of IPRs, intellectual property rights, as such. In fact, we understand technology transfer to encompass the entire set of laws and systems involving the transfer of knowledge and could include items not protected by intellectual property rights, including, for example, material in the public domain. And I think Mr. Gurry's presentation earlier on had alluded to this as well. Because we are talking about the entire set of laws and systems designed to facilitate tech transfer, we could potentially include things such as unfair competition prevention laws designed to prevent abuse in certain licensing practices, as well as, for example, non-disclosure agreements, employment contracts designed to prevent the disclosure of trade secrets beyond its intended recipient. So what kinds of IP mechanisms are important in the context of the CBD? We can start, of course, with patents, which grant its holder the exclusive right over an invention for a period of 20 years, provided that the invention is new, involves an inventive step, and is capable of industrial application. Despite the fact that under the TRIPS agreement, all WTO members and aspiring members must adhere to this criteria for the grant of a patent right, it should be recalled that each nation may set its own criteria for determining what constitutes a patentable invention, what is novel, what do we mean by an inventive step, and when something can be said to have industrial application, as countries seek to tailor their IP systems in light of their own national educational, economic, social, scientific, and innovation objectives to the extent allowed by their international commitments. The extent to which a genetic resource or biotechnology is patentable, therefore, can and does differ from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. The most typical way in which technology contained in a patent is transferred is through the grant of a license. A license, by legal definitions, is simply a permit to exploit the underlying technology and can be exclusive or non-exclusive. Access and benefit sharing of genetic resources requires choices at the micro level as to obtaining, assigning, licensing, and exercising patent rights on relevant technology. Providers of genetic resources may require certain information to be kept confidential, such as the exact location of a potentially endangered species. Some biotechnologies which do not meet the criteria of patentability may be able to receive some trade secret protection of all or part of that technology, provided certain criteria are met, usually defined in the country's unfair competition prevention legislation. Of course, trade secrets can also be licensed. Technology partnerships may need to take into account national laws on traditional knowledge, protecting biodiversity knowledge, traditional medical knowledge, and the like. TK laws are not IP laws as such, but have a strong IP element insofar as the role is to clarify and confirm the rules that define and suppress the misappropriation and misuse of TK, either through the recognition of a positive right in TK as such, that is positive protection, and mechanisms to prevent the grant of illegitimate patents or other forms of IP by others, which is defensive protection. An example of the latter is the current discussion at the TRIPS Council on the disclosure of origin of genetic resources and traditional knowledge in patent applications to prevent biopiracy. Finally, databases containing, for example, Earth observation data, satellite images, and the like may be eligible for copyright protection. It should be recalled, however, that this copyright does not protect information as such, but instead only its expression. The facts in the database cannot be protected by copyright, only the manner in which they are compiled and presented. So given these IP-related tools, how should we think of technology transfer? For purposes of analysis, we suggest looking at technology transfer in terms of four different phases: technology development, the identification of transfer opportunities, actual transfer, and technology adaptation. Different IP issues arise at each phase. With respect to technology development or innovation, it needs to be recalled that each country in its patent law attempts to define the ideal point at which exclusive rights ought to be granted over an invention without unduly stifling follow-on innovation. Biotechnology companies involved in drug development often argue for the need for extended patent protection, given the heavy investments they make in R&D and bringing a pharmaceutical product to market. On the other hand, patents too easily obtained can actually hamper or slow R&D. For example, the development of golden rice. Negotiations for about 70 IP rights belonging to 32 different companies and universities, not all of whom were at the start willing licensees, which is a situation we commonly call patent thickets. One, therefore, needs to be quite cautious about making certain assumptions about how much incentive is created for innovation for each increment one seeks to relax a patentability standard. In his recent book, The Public Domain and Closing the Commons of the Mind, Professor James Boyle of Duke University cautions that IP policy has often been made by and large without any empirical evidence and often based on certain assumptions about the incentive created by IPRs that may not hold true. Again, the call for objective data, which I think everybody here would agree. With respect to identifying transfer opportunities, strong collaborative R&D efforts between developing and developed countries is needed, insofar as the CBD emphasizes in Articles 17 and 18 the sharing of information and international technical and scientific cooperation in the field of conservation and sustainable use of biological diversity. The main point to remember here is that with respect to IPRs, intellectual property rights, the patent system relies on disclosure of technologies, including those relevant to the CBD. Thus, the quality of information contained in the disclosure and the ability to make use of that information become important aspects from a transfer opportunity identification standpoint. I would propose to go briefly through, with respect to the actual transfer of technology, some of the various legal instruments that exist to facilitate the transfer of CBD-related technologies. The first, as mentioned earlier, is the licensing agreement. In this context, patent pools are voluntary agreements between two or more patent holders to license one or more of their patents to one another or third parties based on a predetermined formula. Partnership agreements, frequently found in the area of biotechnology, involve the co-development and marketing of technologies. Material transfer agreements, or commonly called MTAs, regulate the transfer and tangible research materials, especially biological or genetic resources, between parties. And all these agreements will address, to varying extent, how certain IP is treated. Now, I do want to spend a little bit of time discussing the so-called bioprospecting agreement. A bioprospecting agreement is a written contract between parties specifying the terms and conditions governing collection and use of genetic resources. Article 15 of the CBD provides that each contracting party shall endeavor to create conditions to facilitate access to genetic resources for environmentally sound uses by other contracting parties and not to impose restrictions that run counter to the objectives of the convention. Access to genetic resources shall be subject to prior informed consent of the contracting party providing such resources unless otherwise determined by that party. Access where granted shall be on mutually agreed terms. The Article 15 requirements of prior informed consent and mutually agreed terms are set out in bioprospecting agreements. So these animals are designed to meet the convention requirements specifically. I'm going to skip the next slides and go to how IPRs are managed may affect the extent to which a technology is disseminated and absorbed, that is, technology adaptation. Various legal means exist to restrict the dissemination of technology to its intended recipient, such as exclusive licenses and confidentiality agreements. Certain types of limitations, however, are prohibited. For example, some jurisdictions will not enforce a confidentiality clause in an employment contract extending beyond a reasonable period. Other licensing practices, such as restrictions on adaptation, could run afoul of regulations designed to curb uncompetitive behavior. In sum, I would like to conclude by saying that intellectual property has an enormous impact at the various different levels of transfer of technology. And my discussion today tried to focus on how this plays out under the Convention on Biological Diversity. I'd like to leave you with two concluding thoughts. First, that in thinking about how to encourage greater technology transfer under the CBD, it is insufficient and maybe incorrect to think about the potential commercial incentive created by stronger intellectual property rights alone or in a vacuum. One needs to think about what is or should be available in the public domain. One needs to think about curbs on the abuse of those rights, i.e., competition laws. This is true with the CBD as it is with any other area, such as patents and pharmaceuticals. The second point is that there is much that we do not know about how intellectual property will interplay with environmental issues. Echoing a theme heard this morning, policymaking should try to avoid making hasty judgments in the absence of good empirical evidence. We do not know, for instance, the exact amount of technology transferred as a result of CBD obligations. We do not know the extent to which bioprospecting agreements have been effective in implementing Article 15 of the CBD, including on the issues of, thus while the problem of environment requires very decisive and urgent action. It is our belief that policies need to be based on objective data as opposed to mere rhetoric. So with that, I conclude, and I thank you for your time.